This is Nick.
This is Jack.
Welcome back. It is Monday, April 15th, and today's pod is the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
All right, Jack, let's just say it, Yetis. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. You got to pay your taxes.
Today's the deadline, right? April 15th.
Pause the pod. Pay your taxes. And you know what? Then call your mother. Everyone should call your mother. Pay your taxes and then call your mother.
You know what, Nick? This is financial advice.
There we go. But Jack, we have got a fantastic show today. Three stories for today's pod. What do we got on the T-boy, man?
For our first story, it's Lunchables. Consumer Reports wants Lunchables off the menu of the National School Lunch Program.
So Jack and I jumped in T-boy style to the $2 billion business of the Lunchable.
For our second story, JPMorgan Chase. They just kicked off big bank earnings season on Friday.
And no one tells us more about the economy than America's biggest bank. It's a window into your wallet.
And our third and final story is Allbirds. The stock has fallen so low that the stock exchange might delist Allbirds.
Allbirds is now Fallbirds, and this may be the final chapter of the unicorn dehorning.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
I mean, coming in hot from the weekend, baby.
Yetis, on Friday, I flew to Florida to drop the kids off with the grandparents so that I could spend a week in California working with Nick.
What was the toughest piece of luggage of all when you're on those flights, man?
It wasn't my 3-year-old toddler. It wasn't my 1-year-old newborn. It was my dog. River the Super Mutt flew commercial right there with us.
I don't blame you for stressing because that doggy stresses out on the plane, doesn't she, Jack?
I mean, she's cooped up in a bag for like 6 hours. The delays could make it 8 hours. It really stresses me out.
Don't even get me going on the weigh-in. Get on the scale. Get off the scale.
If she's over 20 pounds, can I not go on the flight with my family? Like, what are we going to do?
Get this, Yetis. The newest airline in America is actually for dogs.
That's right. Bark, the dog company known for the BarkBox dog subscription, just launched an animal airline.
Yeah, it turns out they partnered with a private plane company to launch, get this, Bark Air.
It's a Bark-branded private jet service for dogs and their parents.
10 seats on the plane for humans, 10 dog beds on the plane for your border collie.
The entire flight is emotional support passengers.
Oh, who's a good boy, who's a good boy?
And you don't have to squeeze your dog into the bag and then fit it under the seat for this airline.
And you don't have to be weight shamed into being under 20 pounds either, Jack.
Dogs are free to walk around the cabin as long as they're on a leash.
Well, Jack, we should sprinkle on some context here. This isn't just P-U-P-P-Y puppy. Yeah, this is pretty pricey to pamper your pooch.
Because a one-way New York to L.A. flight on Bark Air is $6,000 for the puppy and the parents.
A one-way New York to London flight on Bark Air is $8,000.
And no, they don't have a direct flight to the fire hydrant they peed on a few years ago.
But instead of peanuts, they're giving out peanut butter, Jack.
And instead of Biscoff, they're giving out kibbling bits.
Excuse me, flight attendant, I'll take the Bloody Mary, but if you could put it in a bowl, that would be great.
So this all sounds wonderful, albeit expensive. There's one problem Nick and I see, and that's the name.
Because Bark Air, it's just not a great name. It's a little too on the nose.
See, Eddie's, what would you name a private jet for puppies?
What would you name this thing? Maybe Doggy Delta? How about that, Jack?
How about Flying Frenchie?
Jack, what about Lassie Lufthansa?
Wait, is Airbud available?
I think that absolutely works. Besties, comment at TboyPod on Instagram. We want to know.
What's the best name for a dog-only airline?
I'm sorry, flight attendant. She just smelled my butt.
Actually, flight attendant, she just humped my leg.
Daddy's call the call button. Jack and I will hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor.
Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/T-Boy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work. For our first story, Lunchables has turned into the power player of the food industry, but Lunchables just got bitten.
Lunchables needs to eat a plate of crisis management.
All right, Jack, I'm whipping out the whiteboard plate here. Here we go. Airheads, Sour Patch Kids, and Lunchables. What is coming into your head? What kind of word association?
Dunkaroos, Fruit by the Foot, and Capri Sun. Those are the things that I got packed for elementary school.
Lunchables, the portable meal on a tray owned by Kraft Heinz, the publicly traded food giant.
Lunchables is basically the food pyramid of processed food.
Hey, I mean, jump in T-Boy style to a Lunchable. You got a cute little cracker. You got a salami slice that looks like a poker chick. And then you got like cheese that's brighter than the sun, Jack.
All you have to do is pull Lunchables tray out of the fridge, peel it off, and lunch is served. No utensils necessary. No napkins necessary.
Jack, you grew up with three brothers, and I guarantee that in each of your GI tracks is like a fragment of bologna from eighth grade. You know it, man.
Dude, I need a cleansing. You're right.
It's like a bologna sandwich. Well, Yetis, here's the shocker Jack and I discovered. Jack, what are the numbers behind Lunchables?
Lunchables sells $2 billion of product a year. That's a lot.
Sprinkle on some context, please, Jack.
That's the same revenue as Wendy's, as Papa John's, as Zillow, and as Robinhood.
Oh, and on top of that, Lunchables is 1/10, a whopping 10% of Kraft Heinz total sales. Lunchables is a food giant.
And Lunchables was actually born the same year as Nick and me, 1988.
You're the dragon, Lunchables. And it was interestingly born as the perfect product of a focus group. It actually was literally the product of a focus group with suburban moms.
It was designed for suburban moms. But first, Kraft Heinz asked these suburban moms two questions.
And those questions were, one, what is the biggest challenge raising kids? And two, what is the hardest part of your day?
And those women answered that time is the biggest challenge and that lunch is the hardest part of the day.
So the solution became Lunchables.
It gave parents a perfectly instantaneous, convenient thing to give their kids when they had no time.
But yet here's the business drama going on with this $2 billion a year behemoth.
Last year, Yetis, Lunchables got placed onto the public school menus of American schools.
That's right. The National School Lunch Program is a federally subsidized school lunch program reaching 30 million mouths.
Kraft Heinz probably lobbied to get in there, and they're thrilled that they got in there, because there's a lot of benefits of being in the National School Lunch Program.
In fact, in a recent earnings call, Kraft Heinz called this school lunch program free marketing for the Lunchables brand.
Because not only do they make money selling food to the program, but they're marketing to those 30 million kids who are eating Lunchables.
We've told you about the window of loyalty. Those 30 million kids are more likely to become lifetime customers if they're eating Lunchables in the eighth grade.
But here's the problem. This week, Consumer Reports asked that Lunchables be removed from the National School Lunch Program.
Consumer Reports called Lunchables unhealthy. They said they've got way too much sodium. And then here was the surprise. They also called Lunchables unsafe.
It's not just that the food in a Lunchables is processed. The turkey Lunchables and the cheddar Lunchables had 74% and 69% of the California maximum permissible lead levels.
Lead, that does not sound tasty. And Jack, what was Kraft Heinz's response to this new news?
They stood by the product. They said they were proud of the product. And they said, what's the problem? Both of those products you just mentioned, they passed the strict safety standards we have in this
country.
And they
said lead can occur naturally in any kind of process product.
And they said it's under 100%. It's permissible. What's the issue here?
Meanwhile, Consumer Reports has started a petition to get Lunchables off the National School Lunch Program, and Kraft Heinz stock fell 2%. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our $2 billion buddies over at Lunchables?
There's three rules of crisis management, and Kraft Heinz didn't do any of them.
Yeah, it is. Jack and I have learned that when companies face a PR crisis, there are three steps that you got to do. Write them down, throw these up on the whiteboard.
Acknowledge, splurge, and then forgive.
Okay, and then actually, if you want to memorize these as like three A's, the triple A's, apologize, act, and then absolve.
Okay.
Because that works. I think it works.
Should we start over the takeaway with AAA?
Let's roll with it. You got it, Jack.
All right. First, you need to apologize. You need to apologize that you made a mistake and take ownership for it.
Okay. And then you need to act. You need to spend money and commit resources to right the wrong. You need to overcorrect on the wrong.
But then you need to absolve. Because you've apologized, you've acted. Now it's time to forgive yourself. It's time to move on.
Well, funny thing, Kraft Heinz, they kind of skipped straight to number three. They just forgave themselves. That was it.
Kraft Heinz must think this isn't a PR issue. Like, they didn't pass the lead limits. They think this is a blip. It'll all fly over.
They didn't apologize and they didn't really act. They just forgave themselves.
But if they're wrong, this PR crisis can spiral into something even more.
So Yetis, never forget the three rules of crisis management. Kraft Heinz, they didn't digest any of them. For our second story, JP Morgan Chase is the ultimate window into your wallet, and they just announced earnings.
If you want to know what's happening in the economy, ask JP Morgan, and we just did.
JPM, the $550 billion with the B bank, that is about 100 lifts.
JP Morgan Chase, it's both the biggest investment bank in the country and the biggest retail bank in the country.
And that's the interesting thing, because JP Morgan is the number one bank for branches with 5,000 branches, and they're the number one bank for IPO deals in the first quarter of 2024.
So they touch both Wall Street and Main Street more than any other bank.
Jamie Dimon, he is the bard of the banks, isn't he, Jack?
What's a bard?
It's a Jamie Dimon. He's like the Gandalf of the guarantors, Jack.
I think what my buddy Nick is trying to say is Jamie Dimon is the only big bank CEO still in his position from the 2008 financial crisis.
Yet he's to understand the United States economy, Jack and I like to follow JP Morgan's earnings.
In the first 3 months of this year, JP Morgan made $13 billion in profit. Not too shabby.
But JP Morgan stock fell 5% on Friday because of JP Morgan's financial forecast.
And that led to the worst day for the stock market since January.
But Jack, what exactly was the problem inside JP Morgan's earnings that we learned on Friday?
JP Morgan is a window into your wallet, and your wallet's looking a little not so good right now.
The besties, analysts would like to see your Venmo feed and understand those emoji, but they would rather see your JP Morgan credit card charges on that sapphire plastic.
And according to JP Morgan's numbers on Friday, consumers have been racking up spending on their credit cards.
Card spending is actually up 8% because you've been dropping a lot on those cute tops. You got to treat yourself.
Now that could be good. Consumer spending is good for the economy, but here's the problem. Loans on those credit cards, like balances that you carry month to month and pay interest on, those rose by 13% last quarter.
Yeah, it is. What Jack and I are saying here is that you're putting more on the card, which is great for the economy, but you're paying off less of that card, which is not a great sign for the economy.
It means you're racking up debt.
In fact, just last week, the Fed confirmed it. They said credit card delinquencies just hit their highest point in 12 years.
All of this suggests that consumers have run out of their pandemic savings and are going into the red with their credit card spending.
Again, great, you bought that cute top, you look fantastic, but now you're paying 21% interest on your credit card.
You look good, but you don't feel good.
It's not as cute, although I do love your outfit, Jack. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at JP Morgan Chase?
The Goldilocks situation for this economy could be over.
Now, Yetis, for the last few months, the economy has been in this kind of Goldilocks situation. You know, it's like not too hot, but like not too cold. It's just right.
Every month we've been creating a lot of jobs. Every month spending has been going up. And yet somehow inflation has been coming down.
No economy's ever shut down inflation without economic pain until this one. It looked like Goldilocks.
But last week we got the inflation report for March and it came in at 3.5%. That's the second straight month of inflation rising.
Yeah, inflation, it stopped falling and it's begun slowly rising again, which is annoying.
That's the opposite of what we all want.
And that means that the Fed is probably going to keep interest rates up, and that could end our fun Goldilocks situation.
Last week, we all learned that we probably have another year of high interest rates before they can come down.
And the way Jack and I see it, that's the frustrating takeaway from JP Morgan's numbers. High interest rates are going to stay with us even longer.
And that means the Goldilocks situation could be over.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, it is. If you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For our third and final story, after six straight quarters of sales shrinkage, Allbirds is on the brink of stock market delisting.
Which means the great direct-to-consumer dehorning is now complete.
Jack, let's go back to our apartment in the East Village, 2015. That is when Allbirds was founded.
Allbirds' trajectory was very bird-like.
It was. The revenues were taking off like an osprey for a few years.
By the time they went public in 2021, the city seal of San Francisco was basically the Allbirds logo.
You couldn't raise venture capital money if you didn't walk into that room with a pair of Allbirds wool runners on your feet.
You've seen these shoes. They're made of sustainable wool. They were deemed by Time Magazine the most comfortable shoe in the world.
You feel like a floating millennial. They feel fantastic.
Barack Obama was seen wearing these shoes in 2020.
The loungers, I love the loungers. I wear them around our neighborhood, Jack.
Well, Allbirds hit their peak valuation in December of 2021. On the day that they went public, the stock jumped by 90%.
Yeti's Allbirds was worth $4 billion 2.5 years ago. But what is Allbirds worth today, Jack?
It's dropped 98% in the stock market.
And here's the news. Allbirds was just warned last week that its stock price is so low, it could get kicked out of the NASDAQ stock exchange.
It has 6 months to bring their stock price above $1 a share for 10 straight days. If they can't pull that off, they face delisting.
Now, Yetis, we know what you're thinking here. Why is Allbirds, a company that's been so successful, why is its stock price down a whopping 98%?
Because the past couple of years, Allbirds has switched from a growth company to a shrinking company.
Remember what Jack and I have told you, investors focus on the future, not the past. Wall Street's really like a, what have you done for me lately kind of a guy.
Lately, Allbirds sales have fallen 5 straight quarters in a row.
That's bad.
And they're expected to fall a 6th, 7th, and 8th straight quarter.
But that is worse.
And why are sales falling? Well, we've said before, there's three industries most vulnerable to fads. They're food, fitness, and fashion.
And 5 years after the New York Times called Allbirds the uniform of Silicon Valley, the Wall Street Journal just announced that tech bros are moving on to other fashions.
Looks like Allbirds shoes were a fad.
That's why the company just announced a new CEO and a transformation plan just a month ago.
Guess what that transformation plan included?
What did it include, Jack?
Less direct to consumer, more third-party wholesale.
And we're talking fewer Allbirds stores, more Allbirds sold in other stores. Picture aisle 6 over at Nordstrom. Allbirds are going to be right there on your left. You can't miss them.
We predict the next time you walk into a Target, there's going to be an Allbirds display next to the Casper mattress display. Two former direct-to-consumer companies, very much indirect-to-consumer through Target.
My dad will probably be loading up on him though, Jack. He's got the orange, the yellow. We kind of trade laces.
I think that's part of the problem, Nick.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Allbirds?
The great direct-to-consumer dehorning is now complete.
Yetis, Jack and I grew up seeing these ads on Instagram for beautifully branded products, alternative products to the ones that our parents, you know, grew up with.
We call these companies brandicorns. They're unicorn $1 billion private startups who have gorgeous brands that we can't resist on Instagram.
We're talking Casper mattresses, Allbirds shoes, Rent the Runway fashion. Those were the brandicorns.
Here was the business model. Cut out the middleman to lower the price and improve the quality while still turning a profit.
And here's why that business model broke. If you don't use a middleman, that means you need your own stores and you need a lot of ads on social media to convert sales.
And both of those things got very, very expensive.
And that is why Casper Mattress has gone private. Rent the Runway stock is down 90%, and Allbirds is now close to delisting.
Now, we should point out, there are some survivors, like Harry's Razors, Glossier, the makeup company, Away, the suitcase company. They're all surviving, and we hope they thrive.
But the most valuable direct-to-consumer brand left is Warby Parker, and they're worth just $1.5 billion now.
The direct-to-consumer unicorns, they're no longer mythical creatures. They've officially lost their horns.
Jack, can you and your traveling puppy River whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Consumer Reports called on Lunchables to be removed from the National School Lunch Program.
So far, Kraft Heinz has ignored the three A's of crisis management: apologize, act, and then absolve.
For our second story, JP Morgan Chase's earnings show that Americans are going into credit card debt to keep spending.
With inflation rising again, the Goldilocks economy could sadly be ending.
And our third and final story is Allbirds. They face stock market delisting because their sales are shrinking. It looks like they're a fad.
It looks like the DTC unicorns have been dehorned.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, IPO news. Finally, StubHub is planning to go public this summer. They've been working with Goldman Sachs on the IPO.
The ticketing service is valued at $16.5 billion. And they want to IPO during concert season.
But like we said, what StubHub should do is partner with Taylor Swift to take on Ticketmaster's monopoly.
And second, Humane finally launched their long-awaited AI pin. The little piece of technology you clip to your shirt that's supposed to replace your smartphone.
Jack and I said this should eliminate phone guilt. That's what the excitement is about this Humane AI pin.
But the reviews haven't been fantastic.
According to The Verge, this pin doesn't work half the time.
Yeah, maybe version 2 will be better.
That's optimistic. Thank you, Jack. And finally, remember when Jack and I told you about California's new $20 minimum wage for the fast food industry?
Well, McDonald's has a new plan to boost profits. Bagels.
In California, McDonald's has brought back the McBagel, so you can indulge on a bagel or a McDonald's in San Francisco.
When I was a kid, I had bagels at McDonald's. This isn't that new. But we should point out, bagels are challenging to cook. Because don't you boil that dough and then bake that dough?
Doesn't have the New York concentration of minerals, Jack, then it doesn't taste the same.
New York's got special water.
I don't know how they're getting that tap water over to San Diego, Jack.
These are some salty bagels, actually. Saltwater bagels.
Oh, they're making me thirsty. Now time for the best fact yet. This one whipped up by Jack and me because, again, you have to pay your taxes today.
Hey, hopefully you're getting a tax refund, though. That's the motivation to get this done.
But you can't procrastinate on Uncle Sam, so Jack and I found the best fact yet about taxes to make your filing a little more fun today.
We found the oldest tax in recorded human history.
Because people have been paying taxes for literally millennia.
The first known tax paid was in Mesopotamia, in the Middle East, 5,000 years ago.
In the year 2500 BC, there were stone tablets discovered that show tax payments made to local governments, and they wrote them down in these etched stones.
Impressive record keeping for 2500 BC.
There, you can't erase that, Jack. You know, you had to pay your taxes back then in three ways. You could pay with livestock, with food you harvested, or with labor to the king and queen.
And if you get audited, you need to find all those stone tablet receipts that you spent so much time chiseling.
I have a feeling in ancient Mesopotamia, you don't want to get audited.
You're not innocent until proven guilty.
No. Yetis, you look fantastic to kick off the week. Remember, let us know at TBoyPod what should be the name of a puppy airline.
Lassie Lufthansa. I like that.
And then call the IRS and tell them HYHTBOY.
Have you had the best one yet?
That's how we grow the pod. Really, that is how we grow the pod. We love your word of mouth.
Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. And before we go, a happy Patriots Day to all our Bostonians just outside Boston.
It's one of the great regional holidays in this world. The Red Sox play before noon, and they run the Boston Marathon.
Speaking of which, Yeti Steve Rapepi is running the Boston Marathon, which makes him one of just 16,000 humans in history to run all of the 6 world major marathons.
That's incredible.
And he's only one out of 130 people to do it before turning 30 years old.
Steve, are you available?
And congratulations to legendary Yeti Nisha, who just dropped a new record, Caught in a Rhythm, and Jack and I are jumping in T-Boy style to it all week. week long.
Congratulations to Warren Gillenwater, who's celebrating a retirement in Glen Ellen, Illinois.
And Kaylee Alt is surviving her first tax season over in Denver, Colorado.
Congratulations to Stefan Hoffman, who just got a new job at Clyde & Co. Corey and Chris are super pumped.
And Shannon Smariga has got a new job selling Soulless Beer in Frederick, Maryland. Here to taste fantastic.
And a huge shout out to the Twine Ripper, Matt Dwyer, from Strong Island, New York.
Upper left all the time. And Henry and Arthur, twins from San Francisco down the street, are turning 1 year old. Kyle and Hillary are super pumped and they're looking fantastic.
Happy first birthday to Aiden Paxoy in San Francisco. Annabelle and Moose are thriving as young parents right now.
And Rachel Lee's got a birthday and a new baby in Cambridge, Mass. Just outside Boston.
And happy birthday to Niyati Ajmera, who's turning 25 in Mumbai, India.
And is in the middle of an ab workout right now.
This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock of Apple, Robinhood, and Zillow. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.